comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you happen to be, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm here because you have a right to know. I'm here because you matter. You know, this show is all about bringing you information on all kinds of topics within the genre of the strange and unexplained. And that includes information on topics ranging from the esoteric and mystical all the way to the futuristic high technology and futuristic science. Well, tonight, the information that we will bring to you certainly qualifies as being in the genre of the strange and unexplained. But at this point, we cannot say whether it is esoteric, futuristic technology and science, ancient ruins, or even extraterrestrial. Last year, a Swedish team of explorers rocked the planet by releasing a sonar image of a large object on the floor of the Baltic Sea. That image has become probably the most discussed and written about image on the internet. Because of its shape and general appearance, there have been thousands of posts and articles in which people refer to this object as a crashed UFO. In fact, if you Google it, you can Google Baltic Sea UFO, and you'll come up with a ton of those articles. But the fact is, no one really knows for sure what it is at this point. Early this month, the Ocean X team, led by Peter Lindbergh, went back to that location to dive down and to get their eyes on this object and to photograph it, to video it. According to them, what they found was absolutely fantastic. The leader of that expedition, Peter Lindbergh, is my guest tonight and will join us live from Sweden, where, by the way, it's about 4 a.m., and he'll join us on the other side of the upcoming break. So buckle your seat belts and get ready for yet another ride into the world of the strange and unexplained. Also, you need to get ready for the Alternative Universe Eye Conference coming up on June 30th. And, you know, it's only $10, and you get five of the top name speakers in our genre, top name researchers in our genre. And they present things that, they present information that you don't get in podcasts. They've never revealed it in their radio appearances or in conferences. So they always give us something that's new and special and just for this conference. It's $10 for the conference. And this will be the final Alternative Universe Eye Conference. So it's pretty much do it now or forever hold your peace. Also, if you haven't subscribed to the K-Files, be sure you do. That's our free weekly newsletter. We'll be back right after this. And welcome back. As I said at the top of the show, we have some really exciting information and a very interesting and at this point a very important guest in the genre of the world of the strange and unexplained. He's the man everybody's talking about, and his work, along with his team, is the work that everybody's talking about. His name, well, his name is Peter Lindbergh, and he is the team leader, I guess, is the correct word, of the Ocean X team, and he joins us from Sweden. Peter, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And let me say a very special welcome, because I know you had to be up very, very early to be with us. Right now it is, 9 minutes after 4 o'clock?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah, well, my apologies for the early hours, but thank you so much for being with us. Peter, you've been a professional diver for about 20 years, and you are a professional treasure recovery guy. What do you call that, a treasure hunter? Or?
Yeah, a treasure hunter or a wreck hunter. That's, I guess, what you can call it.
And you were already famous before all of this about the object on the floor of the Baltic. You and your team recovered a whole bunch of very rare champagne from the bottom of the Baltic, I believe. And it set records at Christie's Auction House, right?
Yeah, that's right. And it was in 1997 we found that wreck. And we sold it at auctions in 1998.
And it, what I read on the internet is it set records for Christie's auction. And so you were already famous. You're already well known in the world and in the business of recovering treasure. And it was while you were kind of at the end of a treasure recovery season last year, I believe, that you were doing sonar scans of the bottom of the Baltic, and you found this object that everybody calls the Baltic UFO. You didn't call it that, I know, but that's what it's come to be known as. But you weren't looking for something like that. You were looking for treasure, right?
Yeah, we were looking for, expedition, we were looking for several wrecks, but at this point we were looking for a special wreck from the First World War with more alcoholics, mm-hmm. like champagne and other spirits on board.
Of course, when you look at the scan, you look at the picture of this, the sonar image. Of course, it is circular, and it has generally the appearance of the Millennium Falcon in Star Wars, and so people started talking about that immediately. It's a very strange formation, whatever it is. And people started talking about how it looks like a UFO. It looks like the Millennium Falcon. And so there's been all kinds of articles and stuff written about that. But I remember in the beginning when you and your team started talking about this, I don't recall you or your team ever referring to that as a UFO.
No, we have never done that. Even if it looks very strange, we have always been very careful about what we're saying about it, and we didn't know if it actually was round and if the straight lines were straight and so on, because we didn't really know if the sonar image was disturbed in some way. But it looked very odd. But all the UFO theories was coming from other people.
Well, and they came like a flood because the internet is absolutely full, and YouTube is absolutely full of videos, and you know, about this UFO at the bottom of the Baltic. But I think it's important for people to know that you and your team never identified that. Now, when was it that you first discovered this object?
It was 19th of June last year, and it was the last day of our expedition, and we were actually on our way home. And this was like in the 11th hour, and well, we had a lot of problems. The ship was nearly sinking, and the captain was drunk, and the food was finished, and, you know, it was a disaster, everything. And suddenly this just turns up on the monitor.
Well, my next question was going to be, why did you not dive on the object at that time? But you've just answered that.
Yeah, partly. And also, we had the investor for that expedition with us, and he was into it just to find the wreck. So we really didn't have the time or the money to stop and do a proper survey of it.
How big is this object?
It's nearly 60 meters across, and that should be like over 180 feet across.
Yeah.
In diameter.
That's big.
Yeah, it's really big. You could put a jumbo jet on it, and it would fit inside of the circle.
Now, how deep is this object?
The top of it is I think 76 meters. It might be 74 or 75. We might haven't been on the highest point of it yet, but the bottom around it is on like 90 meters.
So okay, so we're talking about 270 to 280 feet.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, is it even possible for divers to go down that deep, or do you have to have a submarine to get down there?
We have done two dives on it, actually, but we have done a lot of work with the ROV, with the camera robot, but the divers did take some interesting still pictures down there.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is the circle of stones, which looks like a fireplace, which is a bit odd.
Yeah, it is a bit odd. Okay, so divers can get down that deep without a submarine.
Sorry, you disappeared for a moment.
Yeah, I said so divers can go down there with scuba gear.
Yeah, kind of scuba gear. The breathing premix gas. You blend in helium in the air.
Yeah.
And they have like 20 minutes down there, and it will take them more than 2 hours to reach the surface again.
Yeah, they have to stop for decompression.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so there were reports. Well, let's see this. Let's go with this question next. We had early reports that you had actually found two UFO-like objects in the sonar imaging. Is that correct? Were those reports correct?
Yeah, we have two objects, but so far we have only been diving on the circle. We are still waiting for data from something called multi-beam data to be processed, and we will get three-dimensional images of the bottom in the area. And when that are finished, we will also see the second object. But We're planning a new expedition within a couple of weeks, and at that time we will also go down on the second object with at least the ROV. Maybe not the divers, but with the ROV.
And the ROV is the remote submersible camera, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Okay, so now these videos that have come out on the internet showing what your divers saw down there, are these done with the remote submersible camera, or are these done by the divers themselves?
So far, a few pictures has been released, and that is taken by the diver. We had many hours of ROV. ROV video down there, which we have now, after the expedition, looked through. And today it was something released on Swedish news television. Okay. And that was a hole which we found, like 10 inches in diameter, a round hole in the structure, which we don't know what it is.
Okay, now did you dive on this object, or were you up on the ship?
No, I was up on the ship. I am a commercial diver, but as one of the project leaders, it takes too much concentration and it takes too much time to do the dives. So I'm up on the surface, keeping everything running.
Okay, but now, are you getting live, when you're up on the surface in the boat, are you getting live video of what they are seeing down there?
No, I'm not. They're using kind of scuba equipment, so I don't see directly what they see. I have to wait till they return to the surface.
Okay. Whenever they approached this thing, and in fact when the boat approached it, the report that I read, I believe it was on your Ocean X Team website, said that the electronics on the boat and the electronics of the divers stopped.
Well, it's kind of. We had problem. We couldn't talk in the satellite phone. We didn't know at first why we couldn't talk in the phone. But then we realized that, okay, when we're leaving the place just by a couple of hundred meters, we can talk in the satellite phone again. The diver's video camera didn't work. Their lighting didn't work. Our ROV worked, the video camera worked, and the ROV worked itself, but its sonar didn't work down there. We had a lot of problem with it, and after a while we couldn't use the sonar.
Before you do a dive,
we went to a wreck, and then everything worked. I don't know why, but that's a fact.
Okay, but before you do a dive like this, you check and double check and triple check all of the equipment before they go down, right?
Yeah, we do that.
So everything was working before they dove down, and it stopped working when they got near the object.
Not completely true. The video camera, the lighting didn't work on the surface. The camera worked, but on its way down, it started to show an error message in the small monitor. And, then it didn't work.
Uh-huh. So, now the videos that we see from this dive, the videos that have made it to television and have made it to YouTube. Those videos then were taken by the ROV?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And the quality isn't so good, but on next expedition it will be we will have a better camera and so on.
All right, so how did the divers describe what they saw.
Yeah, they have described it for sure, and but it might be difficult for like you and me who hasn't been there down there personally. But when we first saw the surface through the ROV's camera, we thought it was concrete. It looked like concrete, and the divers said the same thing. It doesn't look like ordinary cliff or stone or granite. It's a much smoother surface, and it feels like concrete. Well, we don't know yet, but that's what they are telling us.
Do you know, are you familiar with the term remote viewing?
Yes, I am.
Psychic spies, you know. And some people think that stuff doesn't work, but it was developed, both the Russians developed it during the Cold War, and the Americans, the CIA, developed this psychic spying, the ability to see things remotely. And some people don't have any confidence in that, but in back when you first found this, I asked one of our listeners who is a remote viewer and who has a remote viewing team to remote view this object, whatever it was, on the floor of the Baltic. And I'm telling you this only because I think you might find this interesting, Peter. The report came back and we had it on the air. They came on the air and talked about it, that it feels like concrete. It doesn't feel like metal. It feels like concrete. And now you're telling us that your divers told you the same thing, that it doesn't feel like regular rock. It feels like concrete. And I just find that, you know, that's pretty interesting that we had remote viewers that came up with the same assessment. Now, there were also reports when you got ready to go back out there on this expedition, there were reports that hit the internet that both the Russian and American navies were doing some kind of exercises and had that area blocked. Is that right?
No, that's not right. They had an exercise in the southern part of the Baltic, but strangely enough, a Swedish naval ship turned up. And now we're not on Swedish waters. We are not even in a Swedish economical zone. We are in another country's economical zone. But still, a Swedish naval ship turns up.
All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll get the rest of that when we come back from this break. Ladies and gentlemen, more with Peter Lindbergh right after this.
In Connecticut, and you're listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest this evening, Peter Lindbergh, the team leader for the Ocean X team that just did the expedition down to the object on the bottom of the Baltic Sea that everybody's been talking about. And Peter, I forgot right at the beginning, right at the top of the show when I welcomed you to the show, I had intended to do this, but I forgot. We have a number of people in Sweden who listen to this show quite faithfully. Would you like to just greet them in Swedish?
Okay. Hej och välkomna till den här showen. Was that okay?
That's fine. I didn't understand it, but I know they did. And we have, very faithful members of our members community here at the show as well, who are Swedish. And so I meant to do that at the beginning, but I forgot. So when we went away for break, you were telling us that a Swedish ship turns up out there, not in Swedish national waters or economic zone, but in another country's economic zone. And what happened?
It just turned up there. We saw it for a couple of hours. It was just steaming just ahead of, on us. And then they slowed down and they just, lay there like half a nautical miles away. And we were still doing a search pattern. Mm-hmm. And we realized that, okay, they will be in our way very soon. So we had to, we called them on the radio and told them that we're doing a search pattern and we would be, if they could be so kind and move them, remove themselves from our course. And they answered us, well, no problem, we will do that. And they did. And then they stayed there for an hour or so, and then they just left the area.
Do you think they were out there just to check and see what you guys were doing, or do you think it was just coincidental that they happened to be there doing something else and just happened to be in the same area?
Yeah, well, coincidence maybe, but with all the equipment we had sending these sonar sound waves all over the Baltic, and they have this exercise, probably the submarines could hear us in on the other side of the world, and maybe they were just wondering what we were doing.
But they didn't actually try to block you, right?
No, they didn't.
Yeah, well, see, that report is out there on the internet as well, that they tried to block you. And I think it's good for people to know, you know, what are the facts? What's the truth? all right, so let's go back now to the description of this object. I read it's attributed to you, and they had it in quotations, that you said this object really looks more like a giant mushroom.
Yeah, from the information we have now, it's one or two pieces of this object. It raises like 12 meters above the bottom, but the object itself looks like it's like 3 or 4 meters thick, and then under it, it is some kind of a stone pillar or a cliff pillar. And today we don't know if they are separated in any way or if they are the same object. But on the next expedition, we will take a closer look on that.
Now, your divers, they've described this object to you, and they took photographs of the object. But the photographs that we have out in the public are too close up for us to really see much of what this object looks like. We can't see, it's too close to give us a panoramic view. But have your divers taken panoramic photographs where you can see the shape of the whole object?
No, they haven't taken any panoramic pictures because it's impossible. It's only a meter or 1.5 meters. That's like between 3 and 5 foot of visibility. 3 to 5 feet, sorry. We have had, when the sonar worked, we had a look on the surface and the structures, and we could see that all the lines and the box-shaped things within the circle, which we can see on the side-scan image from the last year, are even straighter than they are on the side-scan image. So this, the circle are there, but there are very sharp lines and angular corners and so on. So it's difficult to get the overview of it. And that's also a thing we have to do on next expedition, to get the better overview.
How will you be able to do that if the visibility is only 1 meter?
We will drive the ROV in a different way than we did now, because we really didn't know what we were looking at. We just moved in with the ROV at some points, but next time we will give more time to just drive the ROV slowly and just film it.
Uh-huh.
Despite what we see, we will just continue filming.
Did the divers, you obviously, I mean, it's you guys are a team, and so you obviously talked about this when they surfaced. Were they under the impression that this is some type of a natural formation, or were they under the impression that this is some type of manufactured object?
Well, if I put it like this, it's I will not say what they think, but I think that they can say that it might be constructed.
Okay.
But it is not an obvious spacecraft or anything. It might be something from an ancient civilization or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the divers and us are of we think it might be from before the Ice Age. If it is constructed, it will probably be before the Ice Age.
Well, you know, one of the things that I say on this show all the time is that the ancient civilizations were not, it was not all cavemen and knuckle draggers. There were some ancient civilizations that had advanced technology, perhaps not at our level of today, and then maybe it was. We don't know. That's why it's called prehistory. We don't know what was going on back there, but we do have indications from other archaeological finds all around the world that they did have, in prehistoric times, ability to do things that we have to have high tech to do today. We have found artifacts that archaeologists have found artifacts that indicate they had high tech capabilities. So maybe if this is from before the Ice Age, then maybe it is some evidence of that high technology. If it's concrete, you know, most people think there was no such thing as concrete until Rome, but there was. And so if it is some kind of ancient concrete, that's advanced technology.
Absolutely.
Does your sonar give you the ability at all to sort of see inside of this thing? If it has any chambers or anything, does the sonar give you that ability?
No, it doesn't. And it worked so few minutes for us before it broke down.
Mm-hmm.
But the sonars can't penetrate. If it would be wood, it couldn't even penetrate that. So with sonars, we can just have a look on the surface.
Okay, now, speaking of the surface, as I understand your description of it, it appears to be this circular object appears to be on top of like a pillar. And as you said, you don't know if it's joined at one piece with the pillar or sitting on top of it. You don't know that yet. But the top of the object, is it domed? Is it a dome shape?
Yeah, it's how can you say it in English? It's slightly domed, probably, but still with these angular shapes and straight lines.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like, so far what we have seen, all the top surface is looking like this concrete material or mineral, whatever. While the pillar have a very similar look to what you can find ordinary cliffs looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like it's a different kind of surfaces on the pillar and the object itself.
And there is, as I understand it, a scrape mark on the seafloor that has been described as like a path or a runway coming toward it. And it's very, very long. Did your divers have much to say about that?
No, but that it is actually a ridge. It is a ridge rising slowly from the bottom, and then it's for about 3,000 feet, and then it ends at the pillar. But it's not the same material as the pillar, because the ridge, the path or the track, it looks like it's ordinary material from the bottom. But we haven't done any special survey of that path yet. But at the same time, beside this ridge, it actually looks like something has been drawn on the bottom or something. But that passes on the side of the pillar and do not end at the pillar.
And okay, so it goes past the pillar.
Yeah, but my colleague Dennis, he thinks that the ridge is actually the edges of the what do you call it, the grave or. Whatever.
Okay. All right. So, the object itself does seem. I think you worded it this way. I think you said it seems as though it may be something constructed. Well, we have a break taking over. I'll hold that next question till we come back from break. All right, folks, we shall return with Peter Lindbergh right after this. And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is the Kevin Smith, and we're talking this evening with Mr. Peter Lindbergh, who graciously agreed to be up at 4 a.m. in Sweden to be with us here live on the show. As we went away for break, I was just about to ask you a question, Peter, then the break took over. So let me ask it now. You mentioned that there's a lot of processing going on now. Tell us a little bit about what there's a whole bunch of stuff going on right now. What's going on?
Yeah, we have taken stone samples and bottom samples, which are they are doing lab tests on them right now. And also this, we had something called the multi-beam sonar equipment, with which you can get three-dimensional images of the bottom, but it takes a while to process that data to get a result. And we're still waiting for this, and hopefully we'll get it at the end of this week. And at that point, we will have a better overview of the area. about the circle, the pillar, the ridge, and the second object as well.
So are you going to release those images on the on your website?
I don't know really, because there is a TV production company who's making a documentary of this, and for this certain equipment they have put up the money, and so that data belongs to them actually.
Yeah.
But probably we will release some still pictures of it.
Now, you had to stay up on the surface. You were on the ship because you were coordinating the whole operation. You were directing the whole operation. You are a professional diver. Was there any moment when you were up there that you, just inside of you, you said, man, I wish I was down there where I could see this thing?
For a few seconds, yes, but then I was thinking about all the heavy equipment and the cold water, and that I had to stay on decompression for several hours, so I was thinking it's better to stay on the surface, absolutely.
Well, let's talk about the water temperature. How cold is that water right now?
Well, actually, it's very cold for this season, and we have like 10 degrees Celsius out at the sea now. It should be like 18 degrees or something. But another strange thing is that on the diver's thermometer was showing minus 1 degree on the bottom, and it should be plus 4 degrees Celsius.
Why do you think it's so much colder there than normal?
I really don't know. We have speculated a lot of it, about it, and maybe there is current down there at the bottom that stir up the water, anyway, it shouldn't be minus 1 degree anyway, but it is.
Did you, up on the ship, did you pick up any, I know you picked up interference with the satellite telephone, when you were directly above the object, but did you pick up any other kind of, signal interference with any other signals?
Not what I know about, no, and we didn't check it. We didn't check for those things as well. About the satellite phone, it was just a thing that we were realized after a while we were there, but we didn't notice if we had the problems with any other equipment, really.
You know, in Bosnia, they have discovered some pyramids. And this is something that almost everyone, all the experts said, well, that's silly, there are no pyramids in Europe. But there are, and they're in Bosnia. And it's the Bosnian Pyramid of the Sun is the tallest pyramid on the planet. It's taller than the Great Pyramid. And what they discovered is that there is a signal being transmitted out of that pyramid. And that signal is at an extremely high frequency, and it's constant, and it goes straight up through the top of the pyramid and up into space. And they have recorded both data, and they have made audio recordings of the frequency. They don't know what it is. They don't know what the purpose of it is. It's a great mystery. And I just wonder if there's something like that coming up out of that object that interfered with the electronic equipment.
I don't know really. I haven't heard about this pyramid in Bosnia, but it sounds interesting, and maybe we should bring some equipment so we could measure if there are any kind of interferences. I haven't thought about it, really.
Yeah. I will send you links to the articles. I have had Dr. Samir Osmanagich, who is the discoverer of those pyramids. And he is, for that project, what you are for this project. He's kind of the head guy there. And I've had him on the show a number of times. And I will send you some links to articles that talk about the scientific equipment that they used to measure that and to document it. And it may be helpful to you and maybe not, but I'll send you links to that.
Absolutely.
What do you hope? You're going back down, I think you said, in a couple of weeks. What do you hope to achieve?
Well, I hope that we will, what we have found so far and what we are still finding within all the recorded data and films and so on, are that it supports not several different theories, but a few theories. And I hope that we can achieve, that we can outrule some theories and that we have a clearer picture of what we have found.
Will you be disappointed if it turns out that this is just a very anomalous but very natural formation? Will it disappoint you?
Yeah, of course it will disappoint me, but I'm have been prepared for it all the time, and I mean I was very surprised by what we found at the last expedition. I wasn't prepared for that, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we can say that, well, it might be very natural but very unique in its kind, and that will not disappoint me.
I was talking with a friend of mine on the telephone yesterday, and I was telling him about your work and that you were going to be on the show, and we were talking about, you know, what different theories, what it could be, and so forth. And he asked me that question. He said, if it turns out that it's just some kind of ancient ruins, would it disappoint you? And my answer would be no. That I would be just as excited over that as I would be if this thing turns out to be the Millennium Falcon. You know, I don't care if it's a UFO or if it's some ancient ruins. You know, if it's something that was constructed, then I'm going to be very excited about it, and it's going to be an extremely important find, whatever it is. You've got the whole world talking now. Everybody is interested in this. Everybody's talking about it. Everybody's excited about it. And no matter what it turns out to be, this is, I think, a very important find.
Yeah, I hope so, too. And as you say, I mean, if we have discovered something, old civilization ruins from maybe 20,000 years old or something, that would be very, very amazing. And I mean, it would surely be enough for me.
You know, before the Ice Age, before the end of the Ice Age, sea levels were about 300 feet lower than they are now. Sea levels rose an average of about 300 feet at the end of the last ice age. It's very possible that this is some ancient construction that got covered up with water. All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you who are joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. I think you're going to be delighted to be here as well. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you away from that first hour. My guest this evening is Mr. Peter Lindbergh. He's speaking to us from Sweden, and he is the expedition leader for this expedition related to this object on the bottom of the Baltic Sea, the one that everybody's been calling a UFO. And not everybody. Mr. Lindbergh hasn't called it that, and his divers have not called it that. Whatever it is, it's very, very anomalous, very, very strange. And one way that you can be sure to hear that first hour, if you missed it, is to become a member here at the Kevin Smith Show, because as a member, you get to get the archives, and there are literally hundreds and hundreds of archive shows there. Thousands of hours of great listening. If you like information in the world of the strange and unexplained. Now, I'm going to open the telephone lines so that you can call and speak with Mr. Lindbergh yourself. But I want you to listen very carefully and do exactly what I tell you, because it's different tonight, okay? Get a pen and paper. And when you have your pen and paper, write down this telephone number. I will give it again a couple of other times. We're using a different call-in number tonight. The number is 623-237-3814. And that is for tonight only, okay? And the reason for that is when we make an international telephone call, outgoing international telephone call, we have to use the line that you normally call in on. And so we're using a different line tonight for you to call in. It is 623-237-3814. 623-237-3814. So if you have a question or if you have a comment for Mr. Lindbergh, that is the number to call. Also, if you happen to be outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, we understand that international calls can be expensive. You can call that number. It will work from anywhere on the planet. But if you want to participate in the show and you don't want to spend that money for the high-priced international calling, you can go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show, and right above the picture is a link that says flash message, so click on that and you can communicate with us like that. Peter, kicking it off here this evening, we have a flash message. It is from Boris in Germany. And he says, could Mr. Lindbergh imagine a public crowd funding for the next expedition to get off from contracts from financiers?
No, we can't.
Okay.
We can't do that.
I would assume the contract was pretty much all-inclusive.
Yes,
yeah.
It is. And it's not a bad contract for us in any way, but I understand what they mean. They want us to release much more pictures and news, but it will come.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we also have Clinton in Ireland. Our folks in Canada and the USA are asleep right now, I guess. Clinton in Ireland says, how far away from the first site is the second object?
Yeah, it is approximately 200 or 300 meters.
So it's a distance, but it's not that far.
No, it's not so far.
600 feet, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm. So, What describe this other object for us, based on, I guess, the only thing you have are your sonar images of it. What does it look like?
For now, I just can relate to the sonar image from last year, and we got quite a lot of disturbances when we passed it. It looks very blurry, but what I can see is it looks like two arches put together, and it also looks like it has a kind of rectangular shape, not round in any way like the circle. And the size are about 40 meters or something. It's a bit smaller than the circle.
Now, did you say it's triangular or rectangular?
Rectangular.
Okay. And it has some, looks like two arches put together?
Yeah, I have tried to explain it with it. It looks like a church window, actually, you know, like a Gothic window, the top of it.
It may be a prehistoric McDonald's.
You never know.
You know, big arches and then a rectangular building, you know, it sounds like, it sounds like McDonald's. Okay, so what do you, when you go down and look at it, do you have any anxiousness, any nervousness about that? Because you got a lot of disturbance on your sonar when you passed over it.
No, actually, I haven't been thinking in those ways that I'd have to be anxious about anything. But I don't know really. I'm just interesting to see what it is.
Is it normal for sonar to have that kind of disturbance?
Yeah, it might be. It depends. If it's wavy, for example, you will have drags in the cable, and it will affect the sonar equipment. So, sometimes you have that kind of disturbances.
So the disturbance that you saw in the sonar image didn't look abnormal to you?
I can't say that if it is normal or not. I have seen disturbances before, and even when we passed the circle the first time, we had some disturbances, but it was much more disturbances on the second object. Mm-hmm. But it can be a coincidence.
Well, you know, I've got a very weird thing happening, and folks, let me tell you, I am going to try and correct that. People are trying to call in, and it's hanging up on them. I hope, folks, that you will forgive me. We do not normally use that line, and I was not aware that we had to set something there. Okay, now it's working. So, caller, your first name and from where are you calling?
Kobe, C-O-B-Y.
Hello, caller. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My first name is Kobe, C-O-B-Y.
Okay,
and
Kobe.
I'm calling from Texas.
Okay, Kobe. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, sir, Mr. Lindbergh. I wanted to ask if you have any information regarding the staircase that was in one of the interviews. Is that true? We have a...
About the staircase, I don't know if I had told anyone about that in any interview. It's something that must have slipped out in any way. It's something that we have seen on the multi-beam raw data. And we hope to get it verified later on. But yeah, we have something that looks like steps or stairs.
Awesome. Well, it was great talking to you, Mr. Lindberg. You keep up the good job.
Thank you for the call, Kobe. Again, folks, I apologize for the problem that you have had trying to call in. You know, the it's different stuff here this evening. Okay, and let's see if we can bring this up. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
Peter, I have a question for you. It goes along with something Kevin said earlier about it, the Bosnian pyramids. If you get a chance, you might want to take a Geiger counter or something down there that can measure the foundation, because I have a feeling it might, and I stress might, be an ancient Chernobyl buried in concrete.
Okay, did you hear that, Peter?
No, I'm sorry, I didn't hear anything, but
maybe you can repeat the question.
This is Brent from Wyoming, and Brent says take a Geiger counter with you because that might be an ancient Chernobyl from a previous civilization.
Yeah, we have had actually a Geiger counter with us, and we did some measuring from on the bottom samples, and we could see that we had 0.2 in radiation, and that's no dangerous in any way, but it's 20 times higher than normal radiation.
Hmm. 20 times higher?
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
But at the same time, the Baltic is one of the most radiated oceans in the world.
Why is that?
Probably because of the Chernobyl and other things that the Soviets have dumped there.
I see. Okay. Brent, thanks for the call. Okay, it looks like he's gone. And folks, you'll just have to bear with us on this this phone system. We're using a different line that isn't accustomed to going into our broadcast. But we'll get to you, I promise. Okay? So, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, hi, Kevin. This is Jerry. I'm calling from Phoenix.
Hello, Jerry.
Fascinating show. First, I wanted to thank Peter Lindberg for taking the time to be on the show with you this evening. This is really, really interesting material. The question that I have basically is this. It says it looks like concrete on the surface, but this thing has apparently been underwater for a very long time. Does Peter think that this might actually be the result of sedimentation just sealing itself, you know, onto whatever the structure might be underneath of it? Or is this different than that? I'm trying to understand it more comprehensively, so that's my question.
Hello, Jerry, I didn't hear the question, but maybe, Kevin, you can repeat it.
Jerry, repeat the question for him.
Yeah, Peter, I was wondering, you said it looked like smooth concrete on the surface of this structure. Do you think that might be the result of sedimentation from having set on the bottom of the ocean for a very, very long time?
If I put it like feels that nothing that I believe or say it is, but it might be like that. It might turn out that it is like that, as you explain. And that's also a thing that we have to look further into on our next expedition.
All right, very good. Well, thank you for being on the show this evening. This is incredible information, and there are people worldwide who appreciate you taking the time to tell us what you're doing.
Okay. Thanks, Jerry.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Are you still with us, Peter?
Sorry?
Yeah. I just want to make sure you're still with us. And the telephone number, folks, is 623-237-3814. It is not easy to get through, but you can, as you have heard. So keep trying, and we will get to you, okay? And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
It's Kevin McAllister from Denver, Colorado.
Hello, Kevin.
Hi.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Hey, Peter, this is Kevin McAllister, and I just wanted to ask you on those blue view images that we got today from you. Did those show those corridors fully contained within the object, or were we looking past the silt and seeing those as passages into the object?
We're actually looking at structures on the object, and this is I don't know really which picture has been released today, but I think it's one of where you can see a very angular shape, and it actually looks like that. There are very straight lines and 90 degree angles.
Well, Dennis had showed us some pictures from the blue view scan that you guys did from above the object, and we were confused as to whether or not those corridors were fully contained within the object, or if they were sitting on top of the object, or they were passages from the outside into the object.
No, we can say that it's within the circle and on the top of the object.
Okay. Thank you very much, Peter.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. All right, we have a flash message here from Gabriel in Germany. And he says, is there a little twister in the hole they filmed? I don't know what he's talking about, but maybe you do.
Yeah, it is a very short video sequence from this hole, and it actually looks like something coming out from the hole, but it might be water that is disturbed because of the ROV's propellers or thrusters. We don't know now, for now.
Okay. Fair enough. Gabriel, I hope that answers your question. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Ryan in Washington. I'll make this real quick.
All right.
Because there's a lot of calls that call in. First of all, I want to say everybody ought to go over to their Facebook group, Ocean Explorer. There's over 10,000 users. They're posting a lot of new pictures there and answering questions. My question for the guest is, can you talk about the volcano that you thought you might have found, or something that looked like a volcano that was emitting some sort of soot? How far is that from the object? And I'll just lift it off the air.
All right.
I didn't hear you clearly, but I think you asked about, as we call it, the volcano, and how far that is from the object.
Right.
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 The volcano is about 10 nautical miles from the circle object.
And it's on the bottom of the Baltic?
Sorry?
This volcano is on the bottom of the Baltic Sea?
Yeah, it is. We don't know now if it is a volcano, but it surely looks like a volcano, and on the echo sounder, and it has a plume coming out of it. It might be what you say in English, fish skull or skull of fish, but I don't think so. So we will go back to that volcano and do some more surveys.
Okay. Caller, you're live on the Kevin... Well, you were live on the Kevin Smith Show. We have a flash message from Lee in the United Kingdom. And he says, when asked about the hole in the object, the diver said he has never, ever, ever seen anything like this before. What's so exciting about this egg-shaped hole?
Well, okay, we have to separate this because the divers haven't found the hole. They went down and they were supposed to have a look on the hole, but they went in another direction and didn't find the hole. And the hole is not egg-shaped, what we can see. It looks like it's completely round, actually. So we don't know what the divers will tell us about the hole when they find it next time.
All right. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello, caller.
Hi, I'm Teresa from Portland, Oregon.
Okay, Teresa. Go ahead.
Yes, Peter, I would like to know if you plan on entering the object anytime soon or perhaps on your next dive to actually go inside the object to see what's inside.
Hello, Teresa, and well, we don't know now if there is an insider or not. We haven't found any kind of holes or hatches or anything that we can enter. It might be just a natural cliff formation and then we can't go inside, but we don't know.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for the call. All right. 623-237-3814. A little tricky to get in tonight, but people are making it, as you're hearing. And so if you wish to talk with Mr. Lindbergh, this is your opportunity. No matter where you are on the planet, you can talk to him. 623-237-3814. That's the number. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Kirk. I'm calling from Lubbock, Texas.
Hello, Kirk. Go ahead, Kirk. You're on the air.
Yeah, I have a question. I understand that Peter plans on drilling, possibly with a drill.
Okay, what's your question?
Is he still planning on doing that, and have they done that yet?
Okay.
Hello, Kirk. I don't think we will drill and take a sample with that core sample by drilling. It will be too complicated, and we do not have the right diving equipment for it. But we will try to hammer some pieces off to get the samples instead.
And I understand that you guys tried to already hammer stuff off and you were unable to?
The divers had a very small pickaxe with them, so they could hammer some material off, but it wasn't from the actual surface. It was from this material which looks like magma or something.
All right, we have to step away for break. We will return right after this, so hang in there. Don't go away.
The Kevin Smith Show and my IQ jumped 20 points.
And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show and my guest this evening, Peter Lindbergh, joining us live from Sweden. Peter, we have a caller on hold, so let's go straight to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you speaking?
Yes, hello. My name is Jack, and I'm calling from Chicago.
Hello, Jack.
Yes, I
can ask two questions, please?
Yeah, go ahead.
First question.
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
Has ever been threatened during this mission, either through emails, voice, phone, so forth? And my second question, did you ever discover any unusual writings on this object, so perhaps like hieroglyphics, something like that? Thank you very much, Peter, and keep up the good work.
Okay, Jack, thanks for the call. Peter, he wants to know if you've ever been threatened in the course of this mission.
Well, yeah, I've got a lot of strange mails, but mostly all of them is coming to my colleague Dennis. Well, there have been some strange mails which can be called as threats, but we doesn't care about them really.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't find any kind of signs so far on the object.
So no writing on the object?
No.
Okay. Melanie from Germany wants to know what could the hole be, and what about the black walls in? I think she means inside. So you've addressed that hole, but you've said we don't know what that hole is. But what about the black walls inside? I didn't know about this. What about the black walls inside?
Well, I don't know really what she means with black walls inside, but what we have seen is that the surface looks like it's quite thin on some places, and it is cracks, and inside the cracks there is a blacker material, and the structure of this material looks like old wooden planks. But I'm not saying it is wooden planks, but the structure looks like that. So it might be that she means with black walls.
Hmm. Okay. Good enough. Caller, you're live. I'm sorry, Peter. Go ahead.
No. You go ahead.
Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, my name is John Weeks. I'm from Norfolk, Virginia.
Hello, John.
And I was calling because I would like to ask, will there be a caretaker for the object after the second expedition? Will someone be there to protect and monitor the site? Because it's such an important discovery, it just seems like it would be, it might cause a lot of people to want to come visit.
I don't hear the phone question.
Yeah, it's a little bit weak. He wants to know, after you finish this next expedition, will there be a caretaker for the site? Because it's a very important find.
We really don't know. I have said that hopefully after next expedition, I think it would be better if real sciencemen could take over and do a real scientific expedition, because at the end we are just treasure and wreck hunters, so we are just doing the best we can for now.
Okay. John, does that answer your question? I guess John has left us. All right, 623-237-3814. If you wish to speak with Mr. Lindbergh, if you have a question or if you have a comment, give us a call, 623-237-3814. If you are outside of the USA and outside of Canada, you may use our flash message option as an additional option on the website, because we understand that international long-distance calls can be expensive. So you just go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. Scroll down, you'll see a picture about tonight's show, and right above that picture is a link. By the way, right below the picture, for those of you who are brand new to the show and brand new to the site, right below that picture is a link, and it says guest info or show info. It says show info. And it has, you click that, and it has information about Mr. Lindbergh and his team, and a link to their website. It also has a list of his books and some film scripts as well. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, yes, Teresa from Portland again. And I do have a question. I was wondering, either Dennis or Peter said that they were worried about the safety of the islands near the anomaly. And I was wondering if maybe he could talk about that a little bit.
Okay. Did you hear that one, Peter?
Not clearly.
Dennis talked about that they were concerned about the safety of the islands near this object, and she wants to know if you could elaborate on that a bit.
I can't really do that because it's nothing I have said, and I don't really know right now what Dennis mean by that.
Okay, so we'll have to leave that.
It sounds like it is some kind of misunderstanding.
Okay. We'll leave that to Dennis to explain then. This is from Trond in Norway. Have the team been contacted by any officials? If not, why not? And what do they feel about, what do you feel about no officials having contacted you if they haven't? So have you been contacted by any officials related to this?
Yes, we have, but actually by the Swedish military, but they were just informing us that we're not allowed to record seafloor mapping on Swedish waters, but we just told them, well, we are not on Swedish waters, and then they were not interested anymore.
Okay. So is that a regulation that's true all the time, or just because of this object?
No, actually, it's all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I would suspect they would have that because of Swedish national security concerns.
Yeah, absolutely. You can search for wrecks on Swedish waters, but you are not allowed to record that data.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Rachel, and I'm calling from Texas.
Hello, Rachel.
And I wanted to know if Mr. Lindbergh thought that the drag marks were from the object itself or if they're natural.
Okay, Peter.
Can I please repeat
yeah.
That?
Do you think the drag marks are from the object itself, or are they natural?
Well, as I think right now, it is some kind of ridge, and I think the ridge is there because of the object, but how they are related, I can't tell right now.
Okay. All right, Rachel. Thanks for the call. And if you have a question for Peter Lindbergh, this is your opportunity. Give him a call, and you may do that at 623-237-3814. 623-237-3814. We have a flash message from Australia. Could you please explain the runway to us? So I think they're talking about those drag marks, but do you want to explain that?
Yeah, as I said, the information we have now, it looks like a ridge, and it slowly raises, start raises like 1,000 meters away from the object. And it raises up to the same height as the pillar, about 8 meters above the bottom. And but the circular object is above the ridge. It's higher than the ridge.
Okay. And somebody said it looks like a runway or a path, and that's where that came from. And that was from Jody in Australia. Okay, from Germany, we've got this question. Why are other underwater film materials from the Baltic Sea so much better and clearer than the material that you've provided?
Well, it depends on two things. First of all, if I told one of the reasons why, everyone should ever understand where it is. And for now, it's a secret.
Okay.
The other thing is that with the ROV camera, it depends on, it is a very long tether or cable. And the quality is, well, we get lesser quality with that long tether, and that's why the ROV images are not so good.
Okay. To the telephone, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Gary in Nebraska.
Hello, Gary.
Kevin, I'd like to ask Peter if he has any concerns for the waters near the object. Are they rough, roiled, are they calm? Is there any concerns for that?
Can you repeat that, please?
Yeah, what are the sea conditions near this object? Are the waters rough or are they calm? And do you have any concern about that?
Not really. We had very nice weather when we were there on the last expedition. So at that time it was very calm. Last year it was kind of wavy all the time. So I guess it's like in any ocean.
Okay.
Well, thank you. And thank Peter for appearing on the show with you, and thank you for the program. This is a great program. Thanks, Kevin.
You're certainly welcome. All right. 623-237-3814. Brad from the UK wants to know what could happen to actual human history records if you find an ancient building which is 20,000 years old and doesn't match to our history. So what do you think could happen?
I don't know what would happen, really. But I guess it would be, we would stir up some old beliefs about our history.
Well, you know, here's another thing I say on this show all the time. All these old stories, these old legends, I think there is a little bit of truth in all of them. Not that the whole story is true, but there's some truth in these stories. And, you know, some of these so-called ancient gods, maybe they weren't real gods, but might have been really powerful people that really existed. And we might find that out. All right, we have to step away for a break. We'll be back right after this, and we'll be on Final Approach. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and we are on Final Approach. That means we only have a few minutes left. I may not be able to get to all of the rest of the flash messages, and we may not be able to take many more calls, but we do have a call on hold right now. So, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, hi. We
can barely hear you.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Yeah, Leon Gower from Calgary here.
Okay.
Just wondering, which direction is the runway facing?
Okay, you're going to have to repeat that. We didn't get it.
Ancient structures have.
You're going to have to repeat it. We didn't get it.
Yeah, which direction is the runway facing.
Okay. So which direction, Peter, is that runway facing?
Yes.
Towards north.
Direct north?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, we do have time for just one more caller. If you call right now, 623-237-3814. And from Germany, why are there no visuals from the volcano that Peter talks about?
Sorry?
Yeah, why are there no pictures from the volcano that Peter talks about?
It's because we just passed it and we saw it on our echo sounders. We have actually released a picture of it from an old kind of echo sounder which shows data on the paper. But we will return to that volcano and do some more surveys.
Good enough. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
I'm Teresa from Portland, Oregon again, obviously. And one of our group members here, Mariana Svo, would like to know if you had the chance to inspire children, what would you say to them?
I didn't hear you clearly.
Yeah, if you have a chance to inspire children, what would you say to them?
Keep on exploring.
That's a good message. Keep on exploring.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Teresa, thank you for the call. From Norway, deep down, what do you feel this really could be? No matter how stupid it may sound, this is a great interview. So, okay, I don't know what that means, but deep down, what do you think this might really could be?
Could be something constructed from before the Ice Age. It could be, but it might also be something natural.
Okay, from Australia, could you please explain a little further about the rooms that you saw?
Ruins. We haven't seen which we can say.
No, rooms. Rooms, like rooms in a house. Did you see any rooms in it?
Oh, we haven't seen any kind of... We haven't seen actual rooms. We have these angular-shaped... how do you say? Holes. Like a meter down into the structure of the object. But no actual rooms.
Okay. Now, a moment ago you mentioned that there are some cracks in some places where the outer shell of this thing seems to be very thin, and that down in those cracks it looks like wood, but you don't know yet. Did you take any samples of that?
No, we haven't, and I don't know if the divers brought up some blackish mineral which was very easy to break, and I don't know if it is the same in these cracks or not, but it's also a kind of blackish material.
Well, I did when you released the videos, the video of the object, you know, the recently, just a few days ago, I did a show where we talked about it, we looked at it, and I made a comment, it was really a question, and I want to return to that question, but I know the answer now. I said, I don't understand why they didn't stream this live. Well, now I know the answer. There's a television production company that is financing the expedition, and they have a contract that they get all of the video and they get the pictures, Am I correct?
No, they are not financing the expedition. We have a private investor who is very interested to find out what it is, but they have helped with some finances, like the multi-beam and so on, but they own the material which is filmed and then photographed out there.
Yeah, so now we know the answer to the question that I asked the other night, folks. And it's a very understandable and legitimate answer. Peter, how do you handle, we just have a couple of minutes here, how do you handle being so famous worldwide now? Is that difficult for you and your family?
I think I handle it quite well so far. Okay, it is a lot of interviews and so on, and I surely hope I will not have to do any more interviews at this early hour. But but so far it has worked well.
Well, I certainly appreciate you being willing to come on and talk with us and to do the interview with us. I know it was a great sacrifice to be up at this ungodly hour of the morning for most people. You know, some of us, I work all night, and my work day ends at about 8 o'clock in the morning. And so that's no big deal for me to be up at 4 o'clock in the morning. But for most normal people, it's a big deal. It's tough. And so I really do appreciate this. I also want to thank Roland Strahlberg. He is a faithful listener to this show. He is a member of our members community and lives in Sweden. And Roland facilitated us being able to get in touch with Peter Lindbergh. And he made contact with him first and got it set up so that Peter and I wouldn't be playing phone tag. We had an appointment time where I would call and Peter would be there, and that worked. And so here he is. And so I really appreciate Roland Strahlberg for helping us get all of this set up. Peter, the television production crew, and we're really almost out of time, so this kind of has to be yes or no, but are they going to put this out in various languages?
Yes.
Outstanding. Outstanding. If you will, stay on the telephone with me for a moment as I bring this flight of this starship in for a landing, because we are just about out of time. Ladies and gentlemen, Peter Lindbergh. I hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. I know we have a great many people around the world listening to the show in 140-plus countries, and some of you are listening for the very first time. I invite you to make this a habit. Get hooked. Be here each and every night, Monday through Friday at this same time, because we don't do anything except space launches like this. Nothing but home runs. Nothing but scores. And I think you'll enjoy it. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You, on the other hand, may call me whatever you'd like to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.